Okay, welcome again, everybody. Great to see you all here. I'm Matthew. I'm the lead pastor. I want to welcome everybody who's on Zoom as well. It's so great to be with you, for us all to be together. One of the biggest concerns we've had about planning for reopening and coming back together again has been the fact that we feel our experience on Zoom together has been so rich, so beautiful. We weren't really sure how all that was going to go. And so any changes we make to that, we're conscious that they have the potential to separate us again. And we don't want that to happen. So we just want to say that to you guys on Zoom right now, our hearts are with you. We're with you in spirit, as I'm sure you feel with us. We're all in this together, and we're going to continue to plan. Yeah, let's give people on Zoom a round of applause. If you're on Zoom, you can applaud us here. So we just want to, you know, as we plan for the future, we want to make sure that we move forward together as a community, because we're all in different situations, and we need to bear that in mind and respect that. We're in a series at the moment called Bottled Up. It's all about how we might handle our emotions in a more healthy way. I'm sure we've all got stuff to learn there. Today, we're going to talk about anxiety. You know, I think this has been worldwide a really anxious time. So if nobody's feeling anxious right now, you're, I would imagine, in a minority. So anxiety is something that can really dominate and oppress us. And we're going to look at a passage from the Sermon on the Mount, very famous passage. And it's somewhat ironic, I think, actually. The last time we gathered in person on a Sunday was way back in Lent last year, when we were looking at the Sermon on the Mount. But we didn't actually look at this particular passage. It's a passage where Jesus talks about not worrying. So we're going to look at that passage together, just make some simple, draw some simple conclusions from it about what Jesus is saying, and also perhaps about what Jesus is not saying, and see if we can take from that ways that we can grow in managing our own anxiety, and perhaps finding ways in which it can draw us closer to God even. So in your programs, you'll see you've got, I think it's on page 4, we've got the text there. I'm just going to read it. Bit of a giveaway, you get all the three main points as well, you can see there. So but stay here and listen to what they're about, maybe. Let's, as you're listening to the scripture, feel free to close your eyes. To it's a scripture about being outdoors, so if you want to let your eyes wander, feel free to do that too. But let's listen and take in this passage, Jesus speaking. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? How can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So we're just going to make three points about this. You can see them there in the program, and they'll come up on the slides on Zoom. The first one is Jesus seems to be saying, live in the present moment. And, you know, that's somewhat in vogue at the moment. I think we all want to be more mindful, more aware, a bit more zen. But what does Jesus really mean by this? I think what he's saying in this passage is, don't worry about the future. Don't live in the future. It's not hard for us, I think, to see that much of our anxiety, much of the things that we worry about are to do with what's about to happen or might happen or could happen. It's to do with the fact that we don't necessarily know the future or can't control the future. And that can stir up all kinds of anxiety in us and rob us of peace in the present moment. I think you could also say, Jesus doesn't say this in the passage, but I think by implication, you could say the same about the past, right? We experience a lot of our anxiety from what has happened. Maybe we failed at something, or we have guilt about things we've done or decisions we made. We may feel we've kind of blown it. And we sort of, that carries over into the present where we feel it's going to happen again. You know, it's inevitable. We have this sense of fate and doom. Or maybe even we have a more positive view of the past. And our source of anxiety is the fact that we think maybe my best days are behind me. Maybe things aren't so good now as they used to be. And we feel like that defines us. That's going to define us. And it can cause anxiety and cause all kinds of challenges for us. I've shared many times here before that anxiety is something I've struggled with all my life. And I think you can probably relate to that past and future issue as I can when I think about situations that make me anxious. Like I've shared before, you know, some social situations or situations where you have to perform. A bit like this one. let's check my heart rate. I would go into those situations when I was really struggling. I'd go into those situations thinking, what's going to happen? I know it's not going to go well. I'm not going to be able to perform. I'm not going to be able to be adequate. I'm not going to be good enough. I'm going to get anxious. And I start getting anxious about being anxious. Has anybody had that kind of experience? And then I'd look back and think like, well, how did it go last time? Oh, it went really badly last time. And I've become, you know, convinced that it's not going to go right this time. And I think we all have a little bit of that, right? We can live in the past. We can live in the future. Now, let's just talk about, we're going to mention a few things that Jesus is not saying as we go through this. I don't think Jesus is saying there's anything wrong about thinking about the future, about planning. There's nothing wrong with thinking about the past. Jesus is really into learning from the past. That's where Jesus says things like rethink your lives, recalibrate, reconsider, because we can look back on life and learn a lot from it, and that's really important. We can and should plan ahead. It'd be really irresponsible of us not to be prepared for the future. But Jesus seems to be saying, don't let the past dominate you, where whatever might happen, whatever has happened, does not define you in the present moment. And if you think about it, all we have is right now. The future will become the present moment at some point. The past was the present moment at some point. But right now, all we have is the present. So don't let the future and the past and anxious thoughts about those rob you of your moment, of your sense of being in this present moment. And Jesus uses the example of birds and flowers to illustrate that. And I imagine, actually, Jesus was probably sat out on a field in a situation perhaps not all that dissimilar to now. And he's just, maybe he prepared his message, or maybe he's just thinking, look, it's like the birds and it's like the flowers. And he's using these examples. And we have those examples around us right now too. I don't know whether on Zoom you can hear some of the birds tweeting around me. There's actually a bird's nest up here. If you see that lamp, there's a couple of house finches have made a nest in that lamp there. And I spent the last few days watching the mum and dad ferry insects from these trees to the chicks. So you might see them poke their heads up at some point today. But Jesus points to the birds and says, that the birds illustrate to us the beauty of the present moment. You think about it, birds are sort of free. They're sort of on the air. They're light. They don't seem to take things too seriously. They're very adaptable. You know, they forage for food. It might be insects, might be seeds, might be nuts or fruit. And they kind of take life as it comes in each moment. You can learn from birds. Flowers. You think we've got all these buttercups that are coming out on the meadows. If you look over there, look at the carpet of buttercups on the meadow over there. And there'll be more and more of these. I really encourage you to walk the property over the next move. So many wildflowers out in the meadows. So and flowers, they don't move. You know, they're not free and light. They're stationary, but they know that sunlight's coming. They know that rain will come. They sink roots deep down and take advantage of what is their surroundings. They're grateful, if you like, for what they have rather than bemoaning or worrying about what they don't have. And Jesus is saying, we can be inspired by them. They show us an example perhaps of being content with what we have rather than worrying about what we don't have. And we think about that. A lot of what Jesus is saying here seems to be directed at worries we have about material things, money and clothes and food and that kind of thing. But I think we also worry, don't we, about relationships. We worry that our marriages aren't perfect, or our friendships aren't perfect, or our jobs aren't perfect, and could be so much more. So whatever it is we're applying it to, whatever the cause of the stress or the cause of the anxiety, Jesus seems to be saying, what if we just accepted what is in this moment and found peace in that, found peace and love rather than fear and anxiety? I don't think Jesus, let's talk about another couple of things that Jesus is not saying. I don't think Jesus is saying, just chill out, don't do any work, don't worry about the future, everything will work itself out. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. And in fact, if you take the illustration of birds, birds work really, really hard. They might be in the present moment and carefree, but they work really, really hard. I just mentioned the house finches that have made a nest here. Earlier this week, I was reading about chickadees. You know, those tiny little birds, chickadees, they have a clutch of eggs, maybe 6 eggs, and it takes from hatching to fledging takes about 14 to 16 days. During that period, the parents will bring up to 5,000 caterpillars to the nest. Right, and some estimates are up to 9,000 caterpillars. That's a heck of a lot of work. Right? So birds work really hard. I mean, you, when we look at nature, it's not nature's not lazy, but it's in the present moment. Another thing Jesus is not saying here, and I think this is a really important one, is that just live in the present moment, chill out like the birds and the flowers, and life will be perfect. And we get a clue to that, I think, in when he talks about the grass. He says, the grass is here today and gone tomorrow. If that's a paraphrase. And I think that Jesus is hinting at the impermanence of life. The fact that nothing lasts forever. The fact that things change. And we experience loss and grief. The kind of thing Melanie was talking about last week. We experience perhaps anger, what we Ruth talked about the week before, or anxiety or disappointment, what we'll be looking at next week, because of change, which is inevitable and that we don't get to control. I don't think Jesus is saying it's all going to be fine. What he's saying is, in this moment right now, God is with us. And he illustrates that in another point in Matthew's gospel. In chapter 10, he has another reference to the birds, and he says, not even a sparrow falls to the ground and dies without our Father in heaven knowing about it. And so Jesus is referencing birds again there. In other words, the reason we can be at peace in the present moment, and the reason that we're okay with our impermanence, is because we are deeply loved by God. God holds us. And that's our second point today, that Jesus is saying, trust our Father. But when he says our Father, Jesus, of course, we're reading it in English, which is translated from the Greek, but Jesus would have been speaking like this in his language, which was Aramaic. And he would have used the term, and there's lots of evidence that he's deliberately used this term in certain settings. He used the term Abba, which means dad. It's a very informal name for father. It's not, it has respect with it, but it's an intimate term, and it's an indication of, it's a metaphor for God that indicates what Jesus thinks and believes about God, that God is good, that God is loving, that God is kind, that we are held by God like a parent, by a loving, intimate parent, not some dogmatic, austere, authoritarian parent. And because of that, because we're held, that's why we can be in the present moment and be safe in the present moment. And this word was so important to the early Christians that even though they didn't, many of them didn't speak Aramaic, they kept that Aramaic word Abba and used it because it was so important to Jesus. So in a scripture that you have in the program in Romans 8, Paul uses this term. Here's what he says. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In other words, we bear the Spirit of God. We are of the same family as God. There's something of divinity about us, and we are deeply treasured, deeply loved, like children, not like slaves. And if you think about it, anxiety is a lot to do with what we feel enslaved to, right? It's enslaved to being perfect, being popular, having a good reputation, maybe enslaved to material things and comforts, or enslaved to striving to control a future, which is futile because none of us can control it. But many things seem to enslave us. And in another instance, Paul, we won't look at this one, but Paul uses the term Abba again in Galatians when he's talking about how we can be enslaved by religion, and how we can we sort of kowtow to a domineering authoritarian God rather than seeing ourselves as children who cry out Abba, because we belong and everything's okay. It changes the way we think about life, I think, when we look at that look at it in that perspective. And it changes the way we think about religion, because I know I've experienced a lot of this in my life, and I think many of us have here, that religion and God can be a source of our anxiety, right? There was a couple of decades ago, maybe 15 years ago, there was a campaign by an atheist group to advertise on buses, and they put these slogans on the public buses that said, there's probably not a God, so don't worry and just enjoy the rest of your life. And I think that gets at the point that so many people define God in a way that God is this being that's watching us, that's keeping an eye on us, you know, not just in taking care, but watching what we're doing, what we're up to, and perhaps even, you know, reading our thoughts. I mean, I was certainly told many, many years ago that when at the end of the world, you know, whether that's judgment or heaven or whatever it is, that everything we've done and everything you've ever thought will be projected on a screen. I mean, can you imagine? How embarrassing would that be, right? How awful. I mean, but what if we could say, you know, there's probably a God, so don't worry and enjoy the rest of your life. What if actually there being a God and believing in God caused us not to worry, but to just to feel even more loved and treasured, feel that we belong more to this planet, to this universe, to God, to one another? That, again, I think could change the way we approach life. That would impact our level of anxiety. Again, I don't think Jesus is saying, our Father, Abba, is going to make everything okay. You know, if you trust Abba, there'll be no problems. You won't experience problems. I mean, it's interesting. The passage ends by saying, today, the present moment, has enough trouble of its own. Okay, so, you know, it's not like trouble's going to disappear. Jesus never promised us that. But we're with God in that trouble, that we're children of God in that trouble. And Jesus uses the term Abba himself in Matthew 14. If you look at the next scripture on page 5, Jesus says, Abba, Father, Mark 14. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. That was what Jesus prayed before he went to his crucifixion. Jesus is a moment of heightened anxiety. You know, it says he sweat drops of blood. He was so anxious. So this is a moment of trouble. And Jesus is surrendering to Abba, surrendering not to an authoritarian's will, you know, like, oh, I've just, okay, you're going to have your will, whatever happens, so I'm just going to surrender to it, you know, like a slave, but rather as a child of God, saying, okay, I'm trusting you. There's something more here, that I'm part of something bigger. What I'm experiencing right now is not the end. So in this moment, moment of trouble, in this present moment of trouble, you are with me. And I'm surrendering, if you like, to you as my parent. I'm surrendering myself into your love, into your divinity. So Jesus was not didn't use these words lightly. He wasn't talking about an easy life in any sense. And he's talking about something much bigger, much deeper. And that leads us on to our final point, which is seek the kingdom. Jesus is saying one way of not worrying is to reprioritize things. Think through what really matters in life. It's not clothes. It's not food. It's not all the things that we might feel are going to satisfy us and we find out don't. It's love. It's kindness. It's experiencing peace. It's justice. It's there's so much more worth living for than many of the things that determine how anxious we feel about life. I love Charlie McAsee. I don't know if anybody has seen his stuff. I'm a bit of a retro, Luddite when it comes to social media. But apparently he was on what's it called? I can't even remember what it's called. We have it on we put our quotes out on it. Instagram, sorry, yeah. Mental block, yeah. That's how bad it is, okay? So, he posted, he's an artist, he posted a lot of his art online with some really insightful comments, and he's put it all together in a book called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. And it's about their interaction, their relationship. And this, we put a quote there in the program for you, where, what do you want to be when you grow up? That's what the mole asks lots of great questions. And the boy simply says, kind. I want to be kind. And what's our ambition? What are we really striving for? What are we after? I really recommend Charlie McAsee's book. He really addresses the fact that life's not perfect. We all struggle. We have all kinds of difficulties, and they're probably going to be with us forever. We're not necessarily ever going to overcome everything, but in our problems, in our challenges, we find one another and help one another in a new way, and we also redefine what's really important. I think that's so aligned with what Jesus is talking about at the moment. So again, when we think about this and the challenge of this sort of recalibration, Jesus is meeting us at this point. And, Jesus says Jesus isn't asking us to take this leap that we can't take. You may have noticed in the passage, Jesus uses the phrase that he uses a lot, actually, especially in Matthew's gospel. You have little faith, or in some translations, it says, oh, you have little faith. Like it's almost like an insult, or there must be something wrong with you. But in the Greek, the word there is just one word. It's oligopistos, which basically means little faith. So we're the little faith ones, and we could view that as like what we lack, or it could be an affectionate term of Jesus. I like to look at it like that. Like he's saying, I know you don't have much faith. I know you find it hard to trust this way I'm talking about, but you have some faith. Follow me. I'll lead you in this way. I'll help you grow in this way. And we have this opportunity, I think, to together say our Father. Right? It's our Abba. It's not my Father or your Father. It's our Father. So we're with Jesus and we're with one another, supporting one another, helping one another with our struggles and the difficulties that we all experience. So we're going to take a moment now to try and just be in the present moment. And we're going to do a little brief meditation. Please join in with us on Zoom in this meditation. We're in different settings, obviously, but you may want to turn off your camera if you're on Zoom, or just fix your eyes on a particular object. But either way, or close your eyes. Let's together right now, let's just center ourselves. You may want to close your eyes to do that. But we also we're in a beautiful surrounding right now. But let's just quieten our hearts. And for a moment, let's just focus on our breathing. Just breathe in and out. Be aware that you are present in this moment. Feel your feet touching the ground. Feel the air as it goes into your lungs and out again. be aware of where you are. You could do that visually by looking at things. You can feel the wind. You might be able to hear the wind, hear the birds. If you're on Zoom, wherever you are right now, there will be smells or sounds or visual images where you're sat. Take it in. Be conscious of it. Feel it. Don't be distracted by what's to come. If you have thoughts about what's happening next, just let them go. If you have thoughts about what just happened, just let those go. Don't struggle with them, just let them go and return to what's happening now. And in this moment, breathe in God's love. Imagine the room you're sat in, or imagine here in the open, just full of God's love, and you're breathing it in with each breath. Just breathe it in. Complete, absolute, unconditional, pure love of Abba. And every time you have a thought that you don't deserve it, or you're not good enough, or whatever that thought might be, just let it dissolve and breathe it out. So breathe out fear, self-criticism, tension, anxiety. Breathe in God's love and just breathe out all that negative stuff in this moment. So let's stay in this prayerful place for a minute or so more. The music team are going to come and gently lead us in a song. It's a very, very old song, which is it's printed in the program if you want to follow along with that. But you could also just stay in this prayerful place and continue to breathe in God's love. It's a song about Abba. And so we'll sing that about three or four times. And sing it as a prayer. Try and stay in this place that you're in right now, in this present moment.
My heart grow cold, never. Father, let me be yours and yours alone. Abba, Father, let me be yours and yours alone. Never let my heart grow cold. Never.